Would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Rebecca Lucy Taylor. My artist name is Self Esteem. I'm coming to you live from sunny Margate in Kent in the UK.
So we got your Slow Club. You had some pretty good numbers on Spotify there. You did okay. Mm-hmm. You picked up your guitar at age 16. There's the drums. Let's see, your dad was a musician. What are you amazed that no one has asked you, or what do you wish someone would ask you?
I mean, I like talking about making the music and the sort of crafting of the songs and the art involved. I think of it as it's not just music, it's like a sort of multidisciplinary thing. And I love to kind of go on about that. I love to talk about my lyrics. I kind of got tired of that in my old band, it was a very like, let's, you know, it wasn't encouraged to ever sort of talk about what things meant. And I see, and that happens a lot in art as well. And I'm like, but that's for me, that's the bit I like knowing from other people. I like to share what my thought process is. I don't know. I always joke and go like, oh, let me tell you what about my genius. But, but I do. I enjoy breaking the fourth wall constantly.
What was being a spin bowler? What's a spin bowler?
So when I cricket, have you heard of cricket?
I have heard. Yes. I know what footy and cricket are. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a major part of my childhood. Like my dad played, my brother played, my mum would make the sandwiches and stuff for the teams. So every week, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Throughout my childhood was just at the cricket ground, and it's quite a boring match. It's not very thrilling unless like once you're really into it, it's pretty exciting. I really like watching cricket, but unless you really know what's going on, it's very boring. So as a kid, I found it extremely boring and used to just disappear with my tape Walkman and have
wait, you're dating yourself. Oh my God, you just said your cassette Walkman. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
I have one of those right in the back here, believe it or not. So there
lovely
you go.
Lovely bit of kit. Yeah, really. Anyway, so I got so bored, I just started to want to play cricket because that's what I was like as a kid. And now really I'm like, why can't I do that? Let me try it. I ended up, and because there's not many women play, not many girls in where I'm from play cricket, it was pretty easy to get pretty far along in the county leagues and stuff. So I could have played cricket for a job. Because I don't think I was that good, but relatively speaking, compared to like the rest of the region, I was very good spin bowler. But I quit it because the cricket ball that they use when you're under 16 is like a softer thing. But then as soon as you're 16, they turn it into the hard leather and cork thing. And I was just like, don't like that flying near my head. I was like, no, I'm out.
Most of my life, feeling like an alien, something is wrong with me. I don't think anything's wrong with you. But it's good that you feel it because you can pour it into the art.
Yeah. I think, honestly, last 6 months I've started to feel like this, that there's nothing wrong with me. But like, still, you know, it took that long. And it's still like constant. Because I wasn't, I don't know. It's just all the things, isn't it? Like, even in a room full of people, I just don't feel like I'm there. Something, and I don't know, probably mental illness, but yeah, I put it in the music. It makes me feel better. I can't believe that I do this all the time, is making people react like it is, because I feel a bit like cheated. I'm like, oh, but your Instagram makes me feel uncomfortable and like I've not got my compared to you, and you're telling me, oh, thank you so much, I feel so seen by this song. And I'm like, what, we're just bluffing? It's like wall-to-wall fakery.
But you know what, you're not living life if you don't feel it entirely.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm realizing now is a gift and a blessing about me, that is I feel things so massively, either way, whether it's high or low. And it's maybe a bit of a British thing, but yeah, my whole childhood, schooling, and then, you know, my old band, like it was wrong to be that, to feel all these things, to be so vocal about it, to... It wasn't cool. It was, yeah. So I did hold, I was sort of my true self or whatever. just own these now here. And I'm actually like so much mentally, my mental health is so much better because I'm not shoehorning myself into someone else's ideal of normal. But I still feel very shy. I realized that over the pandemic, like I'm just really shy. And I think I hit like 15 and started singing in musicals and shows and plays and things. And became this sort of forced extrovert that I don't actually think I am. But even to myself, I didn't realize that. But then the lockdown, I felt very content and okay and soft and like smaller to myself in this way that I couldn't figure out. And I was like, oh, it's because I'm not performing at all, ever.
Right. So when did the switch flip? You're in Slow Club and you've already told me some things and I get it. Because as someone who's, you know, worked, you know, on big things for other people and then had to become an, and then said, nope, F it. I don't care even about the money in the end. You know, I've been building this little podcast thing for 9 years. And if I didn't have a partner that loaned me some money, I would have starved to death. You know, I mean, so where did the switch flip? Do you remember where you woke up one morning or you were playing a drum solo and you just said, no?
It was, I mean, we did the third record and that had like brass and strings on it and stuff. And we toured America with Mumford and Sons and I was playing. So we got walking out there and playing to 10,000 people. And I'm like I loved making those people listen to me sing about how I felt. And these sort of songs, this sort of, you know, leaning into the soul kind of part of things and the sumptuous sonics. I mean, I was very unhappy, but I thought, oh, I can live like this if at least the gigs are like that, and if at least the sound is this orchestral thing, and if the pop songs are sort of moving to those like big choruses and all the things that you can hear in Self Esteem, I felt like I could handle it if we went there. And then there was just a discussion where it was like, didn't want any strings on the record, didn't want any brass, really didn't want to do anything similar. And we'd always done this, like the slowest ascent, just that I now see as a positive thing, because I've never felt that yet, the going down. But I did think, we've come this far, it's like 9 years of my life, and you don't want to do what probably would be the best thing for us as a band to get a bit more successful.
And crazy, right?
The logic just really like escaped me, and I like loads of other things. We had a tour manager that was really, really awful to me, and nobody really stuck up for me. And I was like, I can't, like, I've said this on a few things now, but, you know, no ill will to anyone, loads of love to everybody. One day we'll probably do an amazing triumphant reunion tour. But, but like for now, like we weren't making much money. So what was the point in me suffering every day? Like if I was in Coldplay and I was this miserable, but my bank balance was just ding, 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 you know, I'd have probably survived, but we weren't. We was the traveling was always done in the lowest possible luxury you can ever imagine. Like, and I don't need much, but I was just needed something. I'm like a woman alone around the world, like not feeling safe. And it just ruined my brain. It's not worth it. You know, I was standing, I was doing half of a show I enjoyed, but the other half I didn't. And it's not enough. Not enough for me.
I get it.
Not bad. So, you know, it'll make me a bad person.
I think it's important that people really do understand what it takes.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's an expression, beginning, middle, and end of myself in this sort of way to feel better. Like, I was performing as a version of myself for a decade. My whole adult life, I was in Slow Club, so... And I think those, like your 20s basically are just ridiculous in terms of how much you change and what, and the consistency that I couldn't give people was, kind of making me, it was just very, very difficult. But now I see I should have been musically allowed to do whatever I want. And as an artist, I don't think I understood that I'm an artist until about now, because what it's done to be able to create what I want in whatever way I want, has changed. I wake up in the morning feeling very like interested and curious about the day, whereas I used to wake up in the morning and think, oh, yes. And it's like, no one deserves to have that, you know. So
now we're going to get to the part that we've all been waiting for. At least I have, because you hear something and then you get to talk to somebody about it. So let's talk about lyrics, stream of consciousness. I've been walking around, you know, in my head, quoting lines. I live for something that stays with me, and I will not use the word earworm. I will not use it. I hate that word. I don't want any friggin' worms in my ear. Ever.
That's so true. It's such an awful term.
I hate it. However, one thing I now know about you, and if we were next to each other this close, I'd be looking you straight in the eye and saying, I don't know where it got into your head. And it doesn't matter where it got into your head, but it got there. And the way that you have composed this current thing that's been out since April, but I want to be in your head for a moment, because this is poetry. This is acting. This is a musical. This is a lot more. And I'm not overselling and I'm not hyping you. This is just how I feel. This is a lot more. It really spoke to me. And by the way, I know I'm not technically the target audience.
You are. Everyone is.
But I am. You see, yeah. but it's a certain type of human being that's the target audience. And anybody that's outside that sphere is going to look and say, bloody hell, that's really weird stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love
and
that.
And how good is that? How successful is that? Did you know you had something?
Great question. Because I've struggled with this my whole career, is feeling like unbelievable self-confidence in what I write. And then that not being met by the reaction or the whatever you need from everybody else. And just prior to writing this, my first album, Self-Esteem, I thought it went amazing and I had a great time, but then I kept having these conversations where, oh, it's not quite worked, has it? Or it's not quite connected, or we're not here, or we're not there. And it just really sort of sent me to bed for a bit, and I couldn't bear it. And then I really decided, why do I do it? What's the point if I'm not enjoying it? What am I? All those things, all those kind of big questions. And I just genuinely said, okay, I'm going to make whatever I want. Like, I'm going to stop trying to figure it out and just make exactly what I want. And this was one of the first times that I just did. I'd had this idea for a while to do a sort of mantra, like a sort of hymn of what I needed to remind myself of. And, you know, if that helps other people, then great. But it was all sort of quite a selfish process. I do this all the time. And yeah, and I did it. There's a demo of it that's really different, but the vocal take is still the same. I've only ever done one vocal of it. And I took that, that was in sort of a studio that I do like demos in, and I took it to the producer that I make the records with and said, just save the guitar and the vocal and everything else. Like, I think it should be this. And then just every single bit of it was completely in my head, even the string line, and just built it very calmly over like one day. It was really quick. And then I was like, that's it. And then I walked along the beach here and thought, oh, fucking good. I really did think this is like the best thing I've ever made. But it was a sort of spooky, unplanned, but completely in my head, beginning to end thing. That is rare, you know. That does happen to me often, but like, it's not all the time. It's not how I make everything. So
it's why we're talking, you know?
Good. Yeah. I mean, I did not think it would have this like reaction or the rest of it. And like, who knows, you know, I still maintain that ethos that I got to recently, which is, you know, I can make ends meet money wise. I have a home. I now have like an amazing chosen family and like my life's nice. So the art and the music, if that goes well, lovely stuff. But at the very least, I will be doing it anyway. And so it's really fun. But genuinely, if this kind of success or whatever you want to call it happened when I was like 25, I'd have been like, oh my God, wow, life's about to change. Here we go. Like, and it would have been awful because there would have been a drop off from that. But I, not that I believe massively in fate or anything like that. And I do try to give over to the universe and all that bollocks. But it really was a kind of like, I eased up on the desperate nature of me trying to make it. And everything's just got better. So,
Jules Holland. The lead up is immense. It happens in 15 seconds. You take a deep breath and you go, yeah, that happened. That's crazy. I better go drinking now. You know?
That's pretty much what happened.
Right? Are you aware that you brought it home?
No, but I love to hear that. Thank you. I wasn't sure, you know. I just it's the first time I performed it. And that's the first time I've performed since the pandemic, and also until then, I've never been off a stage for longer than 2 weeks, you know. So there's loads of weird things going on. And also it was like a really big dream of mine. And like loads of artists don't admit that, but it was really, you know, this
three
big dreams.
Well, they're stupid. Of course you should admit it.
Yeah. What? And like, oh no, my girls in the band, like we're like, you know, I never set out for it to be this way. I just, you know, it was about me and like session musicians helping me do it. But what it's turned into is this real like community of people that I love, like family, and they get a lot out of it as well. So it was just amazing being able to take them and give them that as well. Like I kind of cared about that more by the end of it. And yeah, I've been doing this so long. And then when you do something like that with the BBC and there's all these cameras and there's like a lot of people involved and they say rolling, and like, I can't guarantee much from myself, but I can guarantee I'll be like really good. This sort of thing.
No.
Yeah. And I genuinely love to go there, like in the moment. I don't remember being on stage more and more. I used to in Sloan Club, but now I honestly, it's like I black out and just do it. And in this way, like, I love performance art and stuff like Marina Abramovic and stuff like that. That's like my main inspo all the time. And I'm like, that sincerity and that commitment to doing what it is you're doing is what gets me excited. Feels like I take my shoes off at the end of a long day and think I've done the work today. Like I don't know why, but that's what it does to me. And on the flat, sort of running alongside that is, you should just be joyful. Because there's nothing more joyful than singing and dancing. And I don't know, that's a product of 10 years of feeling bad and having to look down on an acoustic guitar, you know. I don't know. But I love it and I want to do more of it. And all I want success-wise is to be able to, I'd love to travel again. Feels like, I don't know if I, how you do that anymore. And like, I'd love to do more television and wider audiences. And I'm up for it all in a way that was kind of, in my old band, that was a bit sort of big, what's the word, like sort of penalized for those desires.
Yeah, I get it. Well, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to save you some time. Yes, you took dance lessons. Yes, you understand choreography. But really, what works about the video is those edits, those pullaways. It just fit because it really is. Every time you turn away and every time it comes back, it's a f*** you.
I love that.
It is a visual f*** you. Tell me I'm wrong there and tell me that doesn't please you to know that that's the case.
No, I'm so happy. Like when you met, because I directed all of the videos that are coming, and I that's very sort of, no one wants you to do that. Everyone wants you to not do that at all. And I had to push to do it. And I even, when you're directing and you're the artist and you're a Libra who can't cope with life, I'm just constantly thinking like, no one's happy about it and I don't know if this is the right thing to do. But again, I just big strong convo with myself, and I was like, you're going to look out into that room, it's going to be silent. There's not going to be people saying like, yeah, this works, this is brilliant. Like, because the idea for I Do This All The Time video was like very simple and not a lot going on, and people definitely weren't sure if it would work. And yeah, I just stuck to it. And the fact that anyone has watched it and felt that journey and felt that it's a fuck you every time, and I'm growing with power each verse, you know. And by the end, I am absolved of it all. And I think the most powerful thing you can ever say when someone isn't very well is just, you'll be all right again.
So there's the Me Too era. There's girl bosses. And ready? Here, I'm going to, if you don't know where I'm going, get ready. I'm bisexual. You know, I got to tell you something. Every woman that's watching that video is in love with you. Every guy that's watching that video is in love with you. Okay? Seriously? You like girls? You like girls? You might go one way. You might go the other. You know what? So what? How do we get rid of this as an important moniker and a badge and a badge that everybody wants you to wear because it's in the lead?
Mm-hmm. They love to say that. I don't know. I have a very conflicted thing, which is like, it's not, yeah, like you're saying, it's not a big deal. Why should that ever even be mentioned? Who cares? Because I don't. And then on the flip side, you know, this kid, this you know, women out there that maybe do have feelings now and again for women and don't know where to put that. And I do like the fact that I'm
being an example. Yes. Very important. Yeah, I think,
it, you know, if it helps anyone to go, oh, well, she's bisexual and that's not a big deal, then cool. Maybe it's fine for me to like try something or whatever. I'm pretty big. I'm pretty passionate about making sure every girl has explored what they maybe might want to, not with me, but I just mean generally in the world. But
right,
yeah, it's no biggie. I also, you know, I think that idea, I mean, I say that you can tell I mean this in the song, but like, it's kind of boggled my brain trying to find a one partner to do the rest of my life with. None of my relationships going forward, I don't think will be, you know, very sort of traditional, because I just can't do it, and it's made me experience a lot more pain than necessary, and
also
other people. And like, I do think I've said this a bit, like friendship is such a sort of shit word for like what my friendships are. Like they're my lovers as well. Like I'm so in love with, you know, about 10 people in my life that I would do anything for in a very traditional sense. Like, and I adore who they are, and I'm proud of them, and I build them up, and I want to be with them. I'm excited when I see certain people, and they're not lovers, you know. I don't have sex with them, but they are just as important. And then some of them I do have sex with, and that's lovely too. But but it's really hard. And I'm a sucker for feelings, and I go there every time, and it has got me into a tangle often in my life. But, and it's another one of those things I've renounced giving. I just refuse to feel like I'm a naughty, bad, wrongan anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm not. I'm just a human being.
No.
And I'm complicated. And I think all those people that have done it, you know, nice, happy, married in their 20s, settled down, kid, house, all of it. That's great.
Watch,
but I refuse. I refuse to not have a great time every day.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.